Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, welcome back. You know, we're getting very efficient with this thing because Dan Lanning just called.
Boom.
And boom, he's on the air.
Synergy.
Coach, can you read us?
I love the efficiency, man. Love it.
You know what? I think it's you, man. You make us better. You make us better by calling in on time all the time, because what happened was our producer said, you know what? I'm just going to cut out the update because I know Dan Lanning's going to call right on time. And sure enough, you were there 15 seconds later.
There you go.
Pretty amazing. Well, is it just us, or has the schedule been a little choppy this year? I mean, I was just looking back. You have some East Coast trips, a couple of byes, both in the second half. You had a Friday game. Has it been a little weird? Is that out of rhythm for you, or is it just a week-to-week thing?
Yeah, weird. Weird has become normal for us. We're good with it.
Yeah. It's. I mean, being a creature of habit. I mean, does anything change? I know last week with the short day, or is at this point, like, you have all of that stuff already mapped out?
Yeah, certainly some things change and adapt, but you plan it out certainly in advance. So, you know, preparing for Minnesota on a short week was a little bit different. Knowing that you're going to have a recovery day there the day after that game was a little different, but you already planned that out. You knew that you were going to put that there and create some time for your players.
I know that, you know, you play injuries pretty close to the vest. USC is pretty banged up as well. When you're looking at that, and a lot of those injuries last week against Iowa, two of their best defensive players, actually three of their best defensive players, does that change at all how you prepare? Do you prepare, is it the same regardless of who's out there? Or do you kind of look at that and say, hey, if these guys can't go, maybe this part of the game plan shifts a little bit?
Oh, yeah. You try to prepare for every scenario, and you know, when you lose players, you have to play differently. You know, we certainly played differently in some ways when we played Iowa and we were down some guys, and played differently last week, you know, against Minnesota, and we were down some guys. So I think you try to look at it from the lens of, okay, what will this change for them, and probably prepare for both. You don't prepare less. You just prepare for all scenarios. Yeah.
Have you met with Game Day yet? And did you give Herb Street an ear flick for picking Iowa to beat you?
I haven't. But, you know, I never get upset when people do their, you know, they're doing their job. That doesn't bother me one bit. My 12-year-old son, like, he has enemies, right? It bothers him. But,
somebody
does their job. They don't play, you know, they're not playing the game, so they really don't get to decide who wins by what they say, you know. So I'll never be upset for somebody, you know, picking another team. That's their prerogative.
And yeah.
Probably means, hey, we need to be able to play even better to, you know, to earn that opportunity for them to pick us. But you know, if you told me somebody picked against us every single week and we won every game, I would pick that scenario every day.
Right.
Right. So who cares?
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. And you can use it, you know, you can use it in your favor.
Yeah, a little fuel, right?
So your 12-year-old right. Keeps a list, huh?
He's got he can hold a grudge a little bit. He can hold a grudge.
Has it been an adjustment? Like when you came here, obviously you were a known commodity at Georgia, but certainly your life has changed over the last 4 years. Has that been an adjustment, something you've had to talk to with your boys that, hey, dad's, you know, things have changed. Like, we're not a defensive coordinator anymore.
They're pretty self-aware, I think. I don't have to spend a lot of time on that conversation. But they know, you know, like, hey, things might get said at school. You might have to deal with some stuff. Yeah. But we don't spend a lot of time on it.
No, I have a personal question for you because I know how competitive you are. We all know how competitive you are. How do you stay so calm on the sideline?
Well, I don't know that I always am, but I try to say what's the best case scenario for us, you know, in a lot of situations. And, you know, when things aren't going the way you want them to go, chaos doesn't always create success. So, those are the things I try to think about. And I always tell our players the next play is the most important play. And I just don't think as a coach, if you're riding the wave, that you're going to be able to, you know, create calm in the, you know, in the chaos for the next play. So, everything for me is a decision about what's going to get us the result that we want. Right. And if I thought jumping around and acting crazy would help that, you know, I probably hurt us in some ways. I've noticed, you know, we don't get a ton of pass interference calls against us. And there's some coaches that do a great job of, you know, working the sideline, working the officials, and they truly do get more calls that way. I've always kind of thought, like, if you treat the officials with respect and don't act crazy, that you might get more calls. I don't think that's true. I think maybe I should jump around and act crazy a little bit more. But I also think that sends the wrong message to your players, right? Like, don't let them have an impact on the game. So there's probably moments that I could be a little bit crazier and there might be a benefit to it. But ultimately, I think your players, your staff, they respond to a sense of calmness of like, okay, we've been here before. This is how you're supposed to act.
It's so funny. I was just, you brought that up. The Lions defensive coordinator was asked about that today. The Detroit Lions have not had a defensive pass interference called on one of their receivers. And they were asking about that very thing about, you know, cause you know, should you be calm and work it when that's, I didn't know that was something like coaches actually sat around and thought about, but I saw that got brought up today in the Lions press conference that they don't get.
Yeah,
that
I actually brought it up. I won't say what game, but I brought it up in a game this season that, hey, this coach is going to work to get a call out of you. Like, you know, hold your ground, man. Like, have some poise here, because he's going to try like crazy to get you to throw a flag, and it won't be deserving. And he did, and it worked. And when the guy came to my sideline the next half, I said, he got you. Busted. Like, you fell for it. I told you in pregame this would happen, and you fell for it. You know, and yeah, he still thought it was the right call. But I said, well, if I was allowed to show you the tablet right now, I'd show it to you, and you'd realize you made the wrong call. But I can't do that. So just know that he got you, so you owe me one.
Well, what if
I ever got it back?
What if you hired a work the officials coach,
like a get back coach?
Yeah,
work that into the budget.
Wouldn't you guys be willing to do that? You think?
Oh, of
course. Don't you have the strength? Who's the strength conditioning guy?
It always drives me nuts when I see everybody on the sideline like going crazy. Like it's kind of a pet peeve. So it's really against everything I believe in when you know you're. Fourth strength coach is over there yelling at the official and you're just like, shut the hell up.
Right.
Like, let's get to the next play. Like, so I don't know that I'll ever have it, but maybe I need to have one guy designated as that guy. And he just complains about every call and everybody else on the sideline knows they're not allowed to do it.
Yeah.
You know, there might be some, you know, something worth
some
that.
Some value. I mean, I don't think you have to scream and yell. I mean, you can, you know, you can
maybe like a guy who just whispers sweet nothings into the official's ear
pass
about
some
how.
Notes.
Yeah, this isn't fair.
Screaming and yelling seems like it works better, but I'm with you.
This is Dan Lanning, Oregon football coach with us here on the fan. Let's talk about USC. I guess just generic question, what makes their offense so good?
Well, they have a balanced attack, and they can beat you in multiple ways, and they've done it this season. They can rush to win. They can throw to win. They've got talent with wideouts, and their quarterback's playing a really good game. And you know, they're certainly explosive on offense. Will be, you know, one of the best offenses we've seen this year. And you know, defensively, they play really sound, and they don't give up explosives. So all those things contribute.
Who do they most remind you of when you look at their offensive attack?
Yeah, at USC.
Yeah.
You saw Jeremiah Smith twice.
You didn't like that answer.
Well, I knew you were going to say that. He knows.
Remind me. Yeah, you knew it was coming. You know how I'm going to answer a question. You don't have to ask it.
Yeah. So you saw Jeremiah Smith a couple times last season. Certainly two different archetypes of receivers. But can you compare the challenges of defending Smith to the challenges of defending this guy, Mekhi Lemon?
Yeah, anytime you have a game-changing wideout, you're trying to ask yourself, how do you figure out a way to isolate that person, remove them from the game plan? It's tough when you play good offenses that move those people around, you know, and Mekhi's a guy that moves around a bunch in the slot and can be lined up in all different locations on the field. Jacoby Lane, no different, you know, two different wideouts in how they do things, but they're both really good players.
Okay, I'm going to ask a question that I don't know how you're going to respond this time. So it's when DeCorian Moore is going to be featured in a documentary, which I think is great. when someone comes to this in this new era of NIL, and this is something where cameras are following around, and you guys are no stranger to cameras, you do your own, how much of that has to get cleared through the team? Like, what is the process, when someone, comes to you, or who does come to you and suggest that this is something that may happen?
Yeah, there's just a lot of good, healthy conversations about what this needs to look like and how does it operate and works for us. And I want to make sure that our guys have, if they get opportunities, this is a place where we feel like, you can have a stage and you can, build a brand. And, that's part of being able to come to Oregon, and not every program is going to be really welcoming to that. I'd much rather be welcoming to it and have a good relationship with the people that are doing it. So ultimately, it can be a product that everybody's proud of.
So he has cameras following him this year?
Not all the time. No, it's not an every day, but there's moments, and really most of the time you probably wouldn't even realize they're there.
Interesting. What were you? So Mariota in town, Hall of Fame induction. Where were you when he was doing his thing at Oregon? That was 2014.
I got to see it firsthand a few times, but I got to see it firsthand when I was a GA at Arizona State. I remember us game planning for him, and I think he was a freshman at that time. We're like, oh, what? We're not going to let this freshman, we're going to make him win the game, right? That's the only way that they're going to beat us, is we're going to make sure that, and guess what? He did. He was unbelievable. Hmm. I mean, they had, I think, over 400 yards rushing that day, and he was super impressive, man. And when you meet the person, you're even more excited about the success that he's had and what he's created. He's an unbelievable human and obviously a phenomenal player.
Do you, when players come back like that, obviously, do they get to spend time around the team? Is that something you encourage?
Yeah. It's their team, right? They helped build it. They were a part of it. I saw Jonathan Stewart and Kenyon Barner there today at practice, and we want to have those guys back. We welcome them.
Do you like when game day's in town? Is there a little extra juice, or is it just another kind of commitment that you have to deal with?
Well, I think there's positives and negatives. There's it's certainly a positive, the attention it brings our university, the opportunity, for players across the nation to be able to see us. I think that's huge when they see the atmosphere. We all know how unbelievable the fans are here in Eugene and here at the University of Oregon. So it gives people a glimpse of that, which I think is great, but there's certainly pieces that come along with that, and you want to make sure it doesn't become a distraction. And probably doesn't help when your head coach goes on and takes his shirt off. That probably doesn't help, but if you're going to have to deal with it, let's have fun with it. And let's bring some attention to our program, which is awesome.
Well, McAfee is like, he's like force of nature. Is he just,
you got me.
Is he just that guy that you just can't say no to?
He's an awesome dude. Yeah. He really is. And, he's obviously been great for that show. I think he brings a lot of excitement to that show. And honestly, just a guy that I enjoy being around for sure.
Who's the college quarterback you remember watching most as a kid?
That's a good question. That I remember watching the most as a kid. Like what it would, I guess it depends on like time period, I kind of was paying pretty close attention to the time, like Todd Riesling and Chase Daniel were both battling there with the Mizzou Kansas games. Yeah. Those are games that kind of stick out to me. Just being a guy from Missouri, I remember those were some pretty epic battles.
Yeah, I'm from Kansas, and that I still can't wrap my head around the fact that Kansas and Missouri played in a game at Arrowhead, and it was number one versus number two.
That was a wild one.
Didn't compute. Who's your favorite athlete from just any sport from your childhood?
I was a big Eddie George fan, believe it or not, and Bo Jackson. Like Bo Jackson was, I was a big Bo Jackson fan. Okay. It's hard though because he played for the Raiders, and I'm a Chiefs fan. So I like, if you said who is my favorite Chiefs player of all time, it's Derek Thomas for sure.
Mm. Oh yes. Yeah. He was the man.
Dude, that DT. He is criminal. He does not get talked about enough when we talk about true game wreckers.
No doubt.
Sad day when he went. Dan Lanning, catch the Oregon-USC game here on The Fan, 12:30 Saturday. Thank you, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
All right, you too.
Hit me with the old razzle-dazzle. He got me.
Yeah, you should know better.
Should have known.
I mean,
it was like one of those. Immediately, I was like, "Yeah, I knew that."
Yeah, he says that every time. I've fallen into that trap before.
Yeah, it got me. I like, if you know the answer, you have to ask the question.
Yeah. And I think I heard his chuckle. I think he gets a kick out of.
Well, he slipped my jab and he threw the hook, and yeah. I just, you know.
That's right.
You know, that's on me. That's on me for not seeing that one coming.
All right, well, now we get to the Dan Lanning postgame show. Yeah. You ready for that? You ready for that?
Well, that's a...
Who's ready for that?
Who had Tommy Rees and Chase Daniel? Like...
Dude, it was a big deal.
Yeah, from that part of the...
But it wasn't Tommy Rees. I didn't want to correct him. It was...
Wasn't that Tommy Rees?
No, his name was Reesing. Todd Reesing.
Oh, Todd Reesing.
That was a game. Okay,
that's
I will never forget. It was Kansas.
Yeah, I
versus
remember
versus Missouri. You remember that game?
Oh, yeah, one versus two.
One versus
Missouri
two.
Missouri won, by the way.
Missouri
minis.
Did. And they played at Arrowhead, and I was at a wedding in Mexico, and I was watching it on a rabbit ear television in my hotel in Mexico, and it was snowing, and Kansas was losing, and I was throwing stuff in my...
That was one of those where you can't believe your eyes. You're like,
one versus two. We had a chance to win the national championship.
Like, what?
We lost the game. Still won the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
Beat Virginia Tech in the Orange Bowl. Yeah. Very big win for Kansas football.
Yeah.
And we have since sucked raw eggs. Yeah. So
this is always weird whenever you ask that question. Like you just instantly your mind goes to somebody. You know, it's like, and so it's always interesting to hear someone else's.
Well, I always enjoy listening. That's why I asked him, because he's so much younger.
Yes.
I always like to listen to, it just puts into perspective their life.
Yeah, time,
because
place.
The time, the time frame of it is so much different than
when
you and I.
When you think of childhood quarterback that you watch, that you were like, wow, who is it? Because you didn't have a lot of Kansas and Missouri people.
Oh, God, no. I asked him college.
Yeah.
But mine would probably be more pro. I mean, it would be like, oh, my gosh. Hell, good question. Yeah.
See, for me, when you brought up when you said college, the very first name it will always be is Tommy Frazier. When I think of and when I just think of college football quarterback growing up, I think of those Nebraska teams and I think of Tommy Frazier, and he should have won the Heisman Trophy.
See, for me, it's more like I'm going to say Dan Marino.
Yeah,
I really liked Dan Marino and I loved watching him. We weren't as into college football because Kansas sucked.
Yeah, and
basketball was such a big thing.
Sure.
So college football. I kind of came around later, but the NFL was, you know, Marino.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Marino on you. I loved him.
Yeah.
And the Isotoners. God. The guy was so good.
I was a Randall Cunningham guy.
Yeah.
I liked watching Randall.
He was awesome.
He was fun.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, well, we are careening toward In the News, which is coming up in about 10 minutes, text on the fan text line. You could hear the remorse in his voice over the shirt thing. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
If you didn't see it, last time game day came.
He didn't want to take it off.
Pat McAfee got him to take his shirt off
and
be all bro-y up there.
He didn't want to do it, but
he did it. He did it,
That's why I said McAfee's a force of nature. He's that guy. Everyone's had that buddy that's like, when the night should be over, and somehow it goes on, and you're like, what happened? And you're like, well, you got McAfee'd. In our case, it's getting Wilcoxed. It happens. And McAfee is that guy.
Yeah, well, you're right. Wilcox is a force of nature.
Yes.
When he's out.
You don't even know how it happens. It's
well,
like,
I know how it happens.
Well, I know. But it's like being around a hot chick, though. You're kind of helpless to their charms. There's men that have that same sort of sway. You're like, I don't know, now I'm taking off my shirt on national television. You're like, and you're wishing you hadn't eaten that pizza the night before. And you're like, hell, all right, doing
this. You
know,
I got to hand it to him. He is super, I mean, we know how competitive that dude is, right? Dan Lanning, I'm talking about.
Yes.
I mean, we've seen him after, like, the Ohio State win last year. He's jumping around.
The Penn State game.
The Penn State game, he looked like a meth addict needing a hit. He's so fired up.
Yeah.
So you know how competitive he is. Mm-hmm. I think it's amazing how much control he keeps on the sideline. Yeah. Because coaches do not. Like, coaches have carte blanche. Nobody ever calls a coach out for jumping around and screaming. Like, remember Cignetti in the Indiana game?
He cut his teeth from two of the worst. And that is Kirby Smart, who is a horse's ass on the sidelines. And it's not like little Nicky is much better at Alabama.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, especially if you're good, like, they'll get you. You can get away with murder on the sideline.
Absolutely.
I absolutely love his attitude about that. Yeah. One,
that was an interesting perspective that he was sharing.
Yeah.
Too.
One is he's like, I just think if I'm calm, the team will be calm. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
And the other is just a more of a personal thing of like, dude, you look like a bunch of chumps when your whole sideline is chirping at the ref.
I like
move that. On to the next play. That is quintessential Dan Lanning right there, and that's part of it's just a small glimpse into why he's so good.
Yeah, I enjoyed that as well.
In my opinion,
he's like, maybe I should, but at the same time, it's like, hey, I love it. The strength coaches, your fourth team strength coach is yelling and screaming at someone.
Up.
It's like when the Eagles had Big Dom that was over there and putting his hands on people.
Oh, they still do.
It's like, dude, he's still over there. Sit your fat ass down.
I saw him. Yeah, he's over there. He's the one that walks right behind Sirianni for the handshake.
Yeah.
Just in case things get weird, Jim Schwartz style.
Someone said wearing a shirt is a choice.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, to be fair, there's two types of people. There's three. There's guy that will find any excuse in the world to take his shirt off, Mike Gundy, Brandon Sprague. Reluctant shirt guy, which would be Dan Lanning. You're like, God, all right. And then there's the never nude guy. And that's like, you'll fall into, you'll be at a pool party and you fall in with your shirt on because under no circumstances is that thing coming off. And so, you know, there's varying degrees. But we found out that, Lanning is in the second category.
All right, well, that concludes the Dan Lanning postgame show here on The Fan. You can listen to him every Thursday on our show at 4. He is brought to you by Philbrook Law. Other lawyers fight for clicks. Philbrook Law fights for wins.
I kind of want to ask
Philbrook Law, accident and injury lawyers, your local law team.
I want to ask him every week now who the team reminds him of. I'm going
see
to
see if he catches
just
on.
See if I, how many weeks before he's like, seriously?
Yeah, he said, I think we've maybe fallen into that trap three times.
Possible.
And I know I did once, at least, maybe twice.
Yeah.
And he says, I don't know, they just remind me of them.
What's interesting, because I try to go poke around, and I've seen USC play a handful of times, but...
By the way, that did not conclude the Dan Lanning post show. Here's more.
I just was struggling.
More feature content.
I was struggling to put my finger on, when I watch USC, what that necessarily looks like, but apparently it looks like USC.
The quarterback's gotten better.
The quarterback's really good.
He is. He's gotten better. I think he's... Still, this is going to be a great test for him because, you know, big games on the road are different than, you know, beating Iowa
100%
at the Coliseum. Yeah. So this is a great test for him. Last year, he was shaky, but he was young.
Yeah, at the end of games, he had some bad
very
picks,
shaky. So. But he's been a lot better, making good choices. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't know if he's the guy that can put a team on his back. Mm. Not that they need that. But they kind of might.
I think they need to score points.
And I'm not sure he's that guy, but he's interesting. And the other thing about them is their run defense is not very good. I looked it up. They are 78th.
No, they're not good.
And that plays right into Oregon's hands because, as Dan Lanning said, they're banged up.
Yep.
And, you know, it's like had to change how they've played.
If I had to put an over-under on Dante Moore pass attempts, I think it's more like 22. And I, by the way, I think I would take the under. I think we're gonna see a lot of run game.
A lot of people
saying they're gonna run the ball a lot.
A lot of people saying Sacred Heart has diarrhea.
Well, it's been a rough year for Big Ten marquee football games.
Mm-hmm.
We finally have one. Like, name another besides Penn State, Oregon, Indiana, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been another marquee Big Ten football game on TV? There really hasn't.
It's been pretty soft.
It's been all SEC this year.
Yes. I mean, do you count Oregon, Iowa as a...
I do not.
Yeah, right? Like,
no, I don't.
Yeah, we had ranked teams. I think at the start of the season, Illinois was ranked, and they faced off against, like, Indiana or something.
But USC, no, they played USC.
Thank you, USC. It's like, no, it doesn't... Well, there's nothing that's ruffled my skirt.
Well,
so
Nebraska
far.
Hasn't lived up to anything. They stink. Penn State fell off the map. Ohio State just hasn't been challenged because we didn't get Ohio State, Oregon, or Indiana. Michigan has been the definition of meh
Well, I will say you get so it's been all SEC so far, which, by the way, later, this is a tease for later. Mm-hmm. I was looking at the SEC championship game scenarios because I may or may not have money riding on those outcomes, some of those outcomes. And I was looking at this. Dude, the SEC playoffs, the SEC championship slash playoff situation for a couple of these teams mm-hmm. is wild.
I don't know if I've actually taken like a deep look
at this. I'll lay it all out later.
Okay, yeah.
It's pretty wild. Like, particularly Alabama. They have a very interesting situation. At any rate, it's been all SEC, and the SEC takes a week off this week.
Sure.
They're playing a bunch of cupcakes.
Yeah, they do every year.
But next week, there's some big SEC games, mm-hmm. namely Texas A&M, Texas. But yeah. if we say that there haven't been a lot of marquee Big Ten games so far, there haven't. But this week, USC Oregon takes center stage. Next week, Ohio State, Michigan take center stage. And the week after that, Ohio State, Indiana
yeah.
will take center stage as a really interesting 1-2 Big Ten championship game.
With a bye on the line.
So, I mean, yeah, exactly. So yeah. you got Oregon, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So the Big Ten's about to make up
we'll get a little
we've missed.
Pay attention up here.
Because Indiana, other than the Oregon game, they haven't really played any marquee games.
No. No, like I said, and some of that is just that the Big Ten teams haven't lived up to what we thought. When Michigan and Wisconsin, Iowa's kind of Iowa, a lot of the teams that you were hoping were going to kind of carry that torch didn't play. And then Ohio State, Oregon, Indiana are the three, and only two of those teams played each other, and it was, you know, the one time. And
that's weird.
You know, had we had those three that played, like, had they all played each other round robin style,
it'd be amazing.
It would be this would be a different feel.
You know why I have such faith that this will all get figured out? Because these weird schedules, they're not maximizing their dollar.
No.
And that's exactly why it'll get worked out. Is the TV contract with the Big Ten, their TV partner cannot be happy about how this has played out.
No.
And so, they're going to fix this. I don't know how, because there's so many teams in each league, but they're going to fix this. Yeah. Always follow the money.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine, who is the Big Ten's TV partner this year? They're on CBS now, right?
Yes. So it's been flipped. So ESPN now has
CBS.
So
CBS cannot be happy about how the Big Ten has played out this year. They're looking at the Big Ten going, dude, we're paying you all this money.
Give me some games.
Yeah, give us some freaking marquee games, you bitch.
Yeah. We have too many, Washington, Illinois, even Washington to an extent, just, they're fine. But
meanwhile, the SEC is going, hey, this SEC, ESPN is going,
every other week,
this SEC contract is great.
Every other week, you got a top 12 matchup.
That's why they're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
Because those TV contracts are worth way too much damn money.
Agreed.
All right. That.
Now it's over.
That is your Dan Lanning postgame show. With bonus content. Coming up next on In the News, why the union football coach is suspended and Nike is reopening its downtown store.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up next, but first, Schultzy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
That's right. Welcome back to our show. It is November 2025. It is time now for In the News. I'm your noted and humble, kind of sexy, but humble newsman.
Real quick, someone just dropped this and I wanted to double check it, and they are correct. The SEC has had 27 games on ESPN with over 5 million viewers. The Big Ten has 5. The SEC also has 2 games over 10 million, and they have had 9 of the 10 most watched games so far this season. So in the battle of who's getting their money's worth, it is not Fox in the Big Ten.
And that is why they will fix imbalanced scheduling in college football.
There you go.
Right, so there. You, it may not be next year.
You are right.
Or the year after. Yeah. But yeah, the next time a TV contract's
changes
up.
Changes are coming.
You're shockingly going to read headlines. Big Ten considering marquee match. Or, you know, I don't know. I don't know how they fix it, but they'll fix it. They'll
flex figure. Scheduling. I don't
yeah,
know.
Right. Exactly. Flex
a
scheduling.
Tier A and a tier yeah. B or yeah, something.
Yeah,
something.
There's going to be. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
It's a massive disparity in viewers.
I bet you they'll come out with 2 schedules per season. They'll say, this is our prospective schedule if this happens. Like, we're going to get nuts at this.
It's brought to you by The Advocates, injury attorneys at Advocates Law. Dickhead!
Has someone left a surgical tool inside you? If so, call The Advocates.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Today is Use Less Stuff Day. So use less stuff, use you son of a bitch.
Use less stuff? Like,
yeah, I don't know. Just recycle what you've got.
Can I tell you that there is a massive problem that I have?
Be more resourceful.
I am a... I'm a napkin paper towel fiend.
I kind of am too. Me 3.
I don't want to ration it. I don't like use. I just yeah. When I sit down to eat, I'm taking a bunch with me. I like lots of napkins, lots of paper towels. I don't want to ration them, and I really don't care. I'm willing to sacrifice. I want a grip.
Well,
I just do.
Maybe you can work on that.
No,
on,
I don't.
On use
I
less
don't
stuff.
Want to work on it.
You know what I'm bad about? I'm bad about that as well. I feel like my wife is like, my God, paper towels again?
Yes.
I just kind of mindlessly grab them for everything.
Me too.
Yeah, me. Yeah, me.
That's
as well.
What they're there for.
Yeah, and they're not expensive.
By the way, this commercial where they use one to like clean something up, horse crap. Dude, there's something I'm scooping up. I'm grabbing like 10, and we're sopping everything up.
I'm really bad with water.
You're a water waster.
Yeah, I'm not good about it. I think
like,
about
do you
that
let
all
it
the
run
time.
Like when you're brushing your teeth?
Yeah, things that, like that. Sort of things
thing.
Like that.
Or like I'll pour the water. On. Yeah, the shower's on, or I'll pour water yeah. and I'll drink half of it, then it gets warm and I'll throw it
throw
out.
Throw it out.
I constantly have that thought when I'm doing that. Like, you know, if the apocalypse happens, I'm going to be so mad about all this damn water that I'm wasting. I'm wasting it right now.
Well, I don't think you will be mad.
If only you would okay. just turn on the water and then it just, you know, it just goes drip, drip, drip. Water's not a problem. Just turn it on.
We take water for granted.
We really do.
And we probably shouldn't.
No, because you're right. In a time of real problem, like survival, water is what ends up effing you over.
I think it was the old movie Book of Eli with Mila Kunis and Denzel Washington. In it. That apocalyptic world that they lived in. They said they missed ice the most. That was
That's Tom Hanks in Castaway when
Thank
he gets back.
You. Ice, yeah.
He just wants everything cold.
It goes drip, drip. Drip.
I was told that all California had to do was turn on the faucet and drought solved. I was told that.
It is also National Absurdity Day.
Speaking of absurdity.
Hey. Hey, the union football coach is suspended. This yeah. is up your way.
This is my way. Just right up the
you
road.
Live right up
he
there,
hit
yeah.
a player? What the hell
what,
did he
what
do?
What did he do now?
Well, he's issued an apology.
Of course. Steve. Is he a man of God?
His name is Steve Pine.
Oh, Steve.
He's been placed on leave due to his actions at halftime of the October 17th loss to Skyview. Oh,
the dreaded Skyview whatever. I don't
know. Oh, wow. Craig Birnbach. Remember him?
I do remember him.
He is the EPS Evergreen Public Schools spokesperson.
Had no idea.
Oh, wow.
Now you do.
He was the Portland Public Schools spokesperson.
Was he?
Yeah, then he moved to Everett. Okay.
Well, he was also the KATU sports guy.
Yeah, he filled in. Filled yeah. in on a couple of radio shows I used to work on with the other evil yeah. empires.
Just yeah. found out, by the way, Steve Pine, he's a sweater vest guy.
Yeah, I saw that.
Jim,
he's like,
Jim Tressel.
He's well, yeah,
That's
Tressel.
A good look.
He's kind of a mix between Tressel and Fleck.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah. Suit and tie or shirt and tie with the sweater. You know what? I'm not going to lie. It's a good look. It's a good look.
Well, apparently he had a tirade.
Nah.
He is one of those coaches. He
yes,
cannot control himself.
I want him to say that that's not who he is, even though it's exactly who he is. And he's a man of God, and he's going to do a deep reflection.
They were losing 28-0, so how can you blame him?
Yeah,
am I right?
Yeah, it's not good.
At halftime of our October 17th varsity game against Skyview, I used excessive profanity and was unprofessional in my approach addressing our players. Accountability is one of our core values, and it is critical that you know I have taken complete responsibility for my actions. My actions have not reflected well on anyone within our community, and for this, I am truly sorry.
Well, you know, he is he's one of the most successful Oregon coaches.
Is he?
Yeah, he was at Central Catholic.
Oh.
Yeah, he was like,
what's he doing at Union?
He went over there, and I
he's
think
a ringer.
I think what he found out is that it's harder when you don't get to pick all your players.
Shocking.
So in Union's two seasons, he is he's 2-7 this year, and last year, not much better. So they're 4-13 since coming over. So apparently the Central Catholic magic has not worked at Union, and he likes to yell and scream at players. Perhaps, but he's a man of God, for God's sakes.
Perhaps they should fire him and hire Ken Potter.
There you go.
Then they'll get players.
Yeah. I don't think you can do that at Union. You got to...
That's where my kid went.
Yeah, he was a...
Union.
A Titan,
he
right?
He was a Titan.
Yeah.
I have a Titan hat.
I think I've seen you wear that a
at
time
home.
Or two.
Yeah. Nike has reopened its downtown store on Southwest 5th. Are you excited about that?
It's nice to see it come back. I don't like when stuff in Portland shuts down.
Yeah, that was a dark day when it closed, man. It just kind of signaled the the downtown
Nike
situation.
Nike is Oregon, right? And the Nike store in Portland, like that's... You just don't want to see that stuff. Plus, it gives more ammo for the people that love to talk about how the city is a cesspool.
Yeah, they say Nike is committed to the community.
Good.
700 block of Southwest 5th, Pioneer Square. Head over there.
Yeah.
The
I saw that the Beaver was out there, right?
Yeah. And they opened last week.
Yeah.
Cool. Pretty cool. Well, hopefully there's no more protests and, you know, a bunch of people breaking windows down. It's really hard when every week you're out there cleaning stuff up for a different reason, right?
Well, and you got to, you know, we as a community have to get together and decide that letting people go into stores and just take whatever they want and walk out, that you can't have that.
Yeah.
Eventually, people are like, well, enough of this. And, you know, that's just, we can't have that. So hopefully city leadership realizes that having Nike in downtown Portland is a big deal. And maybe that's a place that we need to spend a little extra attention on and make sure that that goes well.
Well, apparently at city council, they were all yelling at each other. Most recently, a shouting match over charging fees for detention centers. So I don't think, in other words, you mentioned our city leaders. Yeah, I'm just telling you how it's going
like
over there.
Fees to go in the detention centers?
I don't know. I didn't even click on the story. All it says is Portland City Council meeting devolves into shouting match over charging fees for detention centers. And guess what? Guess what this reporter did? He made a big giant eye roll and moved down to the next story. And that's the story I'm going to tell you about. And it is about whale parts.
Oh, I saw this one. Yeah. We broke out the bone saw.
Yeah. Well, the humpback.
You know what would have solved this?
A stick?
Dynamite.
I don't think it would. I think it would be worse.
So it's okay that we chainsaw open the whale, but we can't blow it up? What are we doing?
Correct.
What are the troops even here for? Why is the National Guard
they're
here?
They're not here.
If we can't... I thought they were here.
Wait, I think they're staying.
I think they're staying. I think we've reversed course on that. That's for later in the news. Continue with your whale story.
The humpback whale that we talked about, it was euthanized.
Yeah.
Because it was caught in a fishing net and it couldn't hit the high tide to get back. Yeah, you know, it couldn't untangle it.
Yeah,
it lost its breath. What a horrible way to go.
I know.
It had become entangled in fishing line from a crab pot. On Saturday, it was stranded. Rescue attempts failed. The whale was euthanized on Monday. Now they are saying that parts of the whale... So the whale's carcass was buried.
Yeah.
But a portion of the body has popped back up. A la Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Yeah. That, and there are parts of the whale that are valuable, and they don't want poachers coming in and taking them. My late grandmother, as I've told you, was a whale. In her basement, she had illegal whale parts. So they are... the baleen, which are the big things that go in the throat. They look like giant feathers, and then like whale teeth in the jaw. Those are things that like are coveted, and I don't want to say how my grandmother got them, but she had illegal whale parts, a la Jody Allen. So they're going to cut those parts of the whale out so that there's no one encouraged to go in there and illegally steal parts of the whale that are valuable.
Well, yeah, because they said basically they're just going to let let it decompose in place and just let nature take its course instead of rebury the whale. Yeah. They may have to rebury it, but they don't know yet.
But yeah, they were out there with a freaking chainsaw slicing these things off.
And carving it up.
And all I'm saying is if we're going to chainsaw a whale because we can't have certain parts of the whale left, I know a very efficient way to make sure that no parts of that whale are stolen and put on the black market. What are we doing?
That's why the dynamite was used, because no one wanted to cut that big old whale open from 1970.
Well, which is more humane? Sawing that thing
in pieces?
He's already
dead.
Or kaboom.
He's already dead. What talk about humanity is this?
You can't dynamite the whale because blubber will get on my Mercedes.
No, we corner off. We use caution. What's that caution tape for? Why don't we have parking cones, for God's sake?
Is there any mention, Rob, of the story of the smell? Like, is that a problem again?
Oh, it is a problem.
It is. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. But that's just life at the sea, you know? You know what I'm
happens.
Saying? Yeah. It smells like crap down there anyway. I always love it when people complain about that. I'm like, have you ever it's not a particularly great smell.
No.
You know, on a beach.
You know it could take care of that rotting corpse smell? Not a chainsaw.
Dynamite?
Saying.
Actually, even with that dynamite, Sook, the smell was bad for months in that area. So I don't think that'll take care of anything either.
All right. Let's see what we got here next.
I need to be in charge. ODOT in charge of that. I need to get on the city council, start making decisions.
Ooh.
We need bold action.
Chris Dudley is back.
Oh, yes.
Wow. Speaking of people, is he?
Tried to be our governor.
That is next on The Fan. All right, this is in the news, November 20, 2025. Chris Dudley is back. Do you remember Chris Dudley?
Yes, former Blazer great and at one time potential governor, right, of our fine state.
Yep. Someone said, fun Chris Dudley fact, his percentage of the vote when he ran for governor was higher than his career free throw percentage.
Now we're just taking shots.
Well, he was a terrible free throw shooter.
He had an ugly shooting form.
Was the governor thing, was it close?
Can you trust that guy?
Man, I was at that debate, actually. Kitzhaber v. Dudley.
I don't remember if it was close or not. I don't think it was.
No, Republicans just don't do well here.
No, they don't, but I, for whatever reason, I thought I remember it being like, somewhat close.
No, it says Chris Dudley ran a strong race in 2010 against Democrat John Kitzhaber, losing by fewer than 25,000 votes, or 1.5 percentage points.
Yeah, 49.2 to 47.7. So
that's very close.
For whatever reason, I got that stuck in my head that was a close race.
He moved to California in 2012, back to Oregon in 2020. Mm-hmm. He is now back. And the big question of the night, apparently Oregon Republicans gathered at the start of November for a big, to-do.
Yeah, a little rally, if you will.
A Reagan dinner, as they call them.
Okay.
And, donors, consultants, leaders.
People of importance.
Activists. The big question of the night was, would any of the speakers reveal that they were joining the already announced candidates for governor?
And is he back? Is he running again?
Speaking on background, political insiders at the event seemed evenly split. Some doubted Dudley would challenge, is it Christine Drazen? Is that her name? She's already announced that she's going to run. She's the one that ran last time. Mm-hmm. I don't think for governor, though. Was that for governor? I don't remember. Anyway,
I don't know.
In a brief speech, Dudley was equal parts emotional and non-committal. He said, "I'm fired up," citing the opportunity to harness a powerful generational shift of young voters toward more conservative values while pointedly avoiding a definitive statement of intent.
That's
no Republican candidate since 2010 has come nearly as close as he did then.
Well, I mean, to come within a couple percentage points.
Yeah, that's maybe he's the answer. Maybe Chris Dudley is the answer.
I must say the picture on the Oregon Live article with the beard
looks
he's svelte with the beard. He might
that get him a couple points. Is that get him the 1.5 points? Close the gap?
Looks a lot different. Just adds some aura, if that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm looking here. Drazen is is going to run, and the only other notable is Marin County Commissioner Danielle Bethel.
Okay.
She is also going to run out. So right now, those are the only two that have kind of announced. I'll tell you what, even though obviously Portland is about as left-leaning as you can get, I've never minded when, you, like, Louisiana has this, I think Massachusetts is another one, Ohio, Michigan. There's nothing wrong with a blue state, red governor, red state, blue governor. I actually think sometimes that can be the best because it kind of forces people to the middle and forces you to actually, I don't know, try to get things accomplished. So,
I mean, we need one. We haven't had a Republican since, like, I think, like, the 80s, so 86 or 70.
Where's the Antifa candidate?
I don't know exactly what Chris Dudley has, but I'll tell you what, I certainly would be open to the idea of listening to him because, again, I think that can be a good thing for people.
And that is in the news. November 20, 2025, brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Up next, we have a segment titled, Who Do You Believe?
Oh.
Do you believe?
No, I don't believe Dion.
Who do you believe? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do not.
Why not?
I don't know who's lying.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Well, I don't know if anyone's lying, but they may be lying.
Okay. Well, let's take it to the
end. We're going to dive into it. I also would like to lay out the case, a very precarious case for Alabama. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because...
Playoff scenarios?
Well, most people think that Alabama, even though they just lost to Oklahoma, is still going to the playoff. And they probably are.
Mm-hmm.
Their odds say that they are.
Okay.
However, I got to tell you, man, I was digging through the SEC stuff today because mm-hmm. there's four teams left that could play in the SEC championship game.
Yes.
And Alabama's situation.
It's a little wonky.
It is the most interesting college football playoff situation, without a doubt.
Because they don't play anyone this week, right? They play.
Right.
And then next week they have Auburn, which should be a win.
That's
and
right.
And that should lead to Alabama being in the playoffs.
Aha!
Ah!
You would think.
The plot thickens.
The plot does thicken. And we will get to that next hour. Okay, stick with us here on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.